I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke, the first chapter. Father, I just want to thank you for this church, not just the building and the brick and the mortar and the steel, but we thank you, Father, for the people that are being built in the things of God. Lord, we don't use the people to build the church. We use the church to build people and the message and the ministry that comes, Lord, to strengthen people's lives. Lord, I'm asking you that just the cloud will vanish away, that any cloud of confusion. And I just say, Satan, you will not bring thoughts that would stop the word of God from coming through this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday morning week ago, we ministered from Luke, the first chapter, and we dealt primarily with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And the title of that message was Expect the Supernatural. We talked about such things as expect supernatural answers to prayer, expect supernatural reconciliation of relationships. And you know, that's already happening. I mean, I've had several people come to me already telling me that things long-standing, misunderstandings in families, and boy, those roots can go deep, that God's bringing people together and bringing reconciliation. So the word is working. And reconciliation in a lot of areas of our life. So the title of the last message that I brought on Sunday morning was Expect the Supernatural. This morning I'd like to just give the title on how to receive the supernatural. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter, and begin reading at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto Mary, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now I want you to notice she was troubled in her mind, and also that the angel in verse 31 said, Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. It hasn't happened yet. Going further, the angel said, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, Could I just pause for a moment to say God has answers to your impossible questions this morning. God has answers to your impossible situations and questions. But the angel replied, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary's said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. It's no secret to anyone that hears me preach through the years that I love the Christmas message. And always just revel in just going into the account in Matthew and Luke. And sometimes I think that God has just given me all the choice nuggets out of Matthew and Luke. And yet in study just a few days ago, the Spirit of God opened an understanding and an insight to me that to me has never been made real before, and I'd like to try to pass it on to you on how to receive the supernatural. In Luke, the first chapter, a miracle is in motion. God is at work. Times are dark, things are difficult. Seemingly, prayers have not been answered. And in the midst of an impossible situation, impossible age-wise, impossible political-wise, impossible according to the time of life, Zacharias heard a word from an angel, "Thy prayer is heard." And I want to tell you some of the sweetest words on the face of God's earth are when God makes real to you that those prayers that you've been praying, thy prayer is heard. That means the answer's on the way. That means that there's a miracle coming and there's an answer to prayer coming. And so as we look at this, there's a miracle in motion. Gabriel appeared and declared the birth of the voice, one who would preach. Later on, we hear the words, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't go to Dale Carnegie School on how to win friends and influence people. John the Baptist told it just like it was and put the axe at the root of the tree. But here's the thing that I want us to pick up on. Zacharias and Elizabeth said yes to that part of the miracle that was in motion of the Christ child who was to be born. You know, some people get so lost in this sovereignty of God thing, and sometimes it gets to be amusing. It's almost like a catch-all saying. But you see, as I look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, they said yes to the will of God. And I want to tell you, it is so very important for you to say yes to the will of God for your life. Yes to the will of God for your children. Yes to the will of God for your grandchildren. You don't just sit idly by and one day God comes and forces things upon you. We're just waiting for a sovereign miracle of God. The Bible is filled with ways that you can receive the supernatural power of God in your life. Some people say there's just nothing you can do about raising children nowadays. Yes, there is. Some people say, well, things are just the way they are. They are until believers change them. Everything's subject to change through believers who have faith in God. All right, that's Zacharias and Elizabeth. We're talking about expecting the supernatural. They prayed. It surprised Zacharias when it came. In fact, God had to close his lips for a while so he wouldn't say anything negative. Isn't that amazing how we pray and pray and pray for something and then God brings it and we stutter and we stumble around and except for the grace of God, we just send it back to heaven. Now the angel comes and appears to Mary here in Luke, the first chapter, same first chapter, verse 26. And I want you to notice what the angel has to say to this young woman called Mary. The word of God said the angel came unto Mary and said, "Hail, you are highly favored." That means you're greatly graced. Number two, there's a great grace in your life. The angel went on to say, "The Lord is with you." And fourthly, you're supremely blessed. You're supremely, supernaturally blessed. Now, you know, that would have an effect on any day in your life when one of the two power angels of heaven, Michael and Gabriel, but here Gabriel shows up and says to this young woman, she's not a theologian, she's not a woman of prominence, no one knows her except her own family and Joseph. She's engaged to be married. And this angel comes to Mary and says, "Mary, you're highly favored." You don't realize how much favor you have. You just don't realize how much favor you have. You're surrounded by the grace of God. The Lord is with you. And you're blessed above all women. You are supremely, supernaturally blessed. I mean, just bam, one of the two highest ranking angels of heaven appears and speaks this wonderful, awesome message to Mary. And yet, folks, could we just pause for a moment and remind you that throughout Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians and Colossians, that the Word of God says the same four things to every one of us in this room today. If you're a born-again believer, you have favor with God. There is a great grace upon your life. You know why I know there's a great grace upon your life? Because you're here today. You could be dead. You could be many other places. But there's a grace of God upon your life that brings you into this place this morning. After all you've been through, and here you are in church on Sunday morning. You're highly favored. You're surrounded by the great grace of God. The Lord is with you, and you're supremely, supernaturally blessed. Can you handle it? Can you handle that? You're highly favored, greatly graced. The Lord is with you. And you're supremely, supernaturally blessed. Well, Brother Nichols, I don't feel like that. Until you believe that and get happy about that, you're not going to enjoy it. There's all kinds of people that have money in Austin and money in other places where people have died and they left money for them, but they've never gone to collect that money. They say there's millionaires today. There's bounty hunters that are trying to help the two parties get together. There's people that are wealthy, but they don't know it. And I'm telling you right here this morning in Calvary Cathedral International, there's people all over this room. You're spiritually wealthy, and you're not even aware of it. You're highly favored, greatly graced. The Lord is with you, and you're blessed. Above all others. Now that angel goes on to give this message after all these wonderful things. He said, fear not. Let's go back to verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, these things, hail, you're highly favored. The Lord's with you. Blessed are thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, folks, the crux of my message, the essence of my message this morning, and it's impossible except you just open your heart and let God speak to you and accept God anoint me as I cry for God to anoint me today. When Mary heard the message of God, she did what most of us do. It's just too good to be true. Really, she went to her mind. She hid in her troubled thoughts. She went to her mind. Yes, Brother Nichols, yes, that's wonderful. You sound excited about your subject matter this morning. But that's just too good to be true. The gospel is too good to be true. I said the gospel is too good to be true, but it is true. Explain amazing grace to me. Explain John 3:16 to me. Explain the scripture that said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. It's too good to be true. Why would God choose me? Why would God choose you? You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You talk about the most special people in the universe. The most special people in the universe are born again believers who have trusted Jesus with all of their heart. You've not chosen me. You know, we act like we found God. God wasn't lost. We were lost. God was not lost. No, we didn't find God. God found us. We were lost. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But folks, Mary went to her mind. Do you know that across America, you know why churches and born-again believers and spirit-filled believers haven't made greater strides than they have made? I'll tell you why. Because we accept the gospel academically. We go to our minds. If our minds can figure it out, we say, yes, that's a worthy thought. But if our mind goes tilt, we just completely reject revelation, knowledge, and truth that God's trying to bring to us. It comes to me every week that I pastor. We have such a cross grain in this church. People that have much and people that have virtually nothing. But the thing that touches my heart is, you know, some people come in here and they'll hide. You can hide. You can slip down behind someone. People surface around here all the time. Don't fill out a visitor's card. Don't, you know, they slip in a little bit late and leave quick so no one will see who or what they are. But they're listening and they're taking notes. It happens all the time. People surface and say, "Preacher, I've been listening to you for 6 months or a year." Every once in a while, someone came the other day and said, "I've been slipping in and slipping out for 2 years around here." And all of a sudden, lightning has struck my spirit. The message that is being preached in this house is bringing change to my life. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to give you a fuzzy, warm feeling. I'm here to tell you that God's best is yours. And if you'll be honest, God honest with God and sincere with God and take God at His word, you can come in here with less than zero and God will give you your mind back. God will give you your health back. God will give you your marriage back. God will turn things around for you. But Mary went to her mind and she was troubled in her mind. Please listen to me today. I've done the same thing time and time again. But do you know what you really know? And do you believe what you really know? It's time to flow in what we know. That's the word for 2000. It's time to flow in what we know. You don't know it if you don't do it. You don't believe it if you're not practicing it. It's time to flow in what we know. This church is filled with Bible knowledge, filled with even boys and girls who know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But folks, it's time to flow in what we know. Take the limits off of God. Mary went to her mind. She was troubled in her mind at the saying. I've been troubled in my mind sometimes when God comes to me with the awesomeness of the vision of this house. I just can't stay in my mind for long. I get in trouble. Mary's mind said, "Mary, you're just an ordinary nobody. No one knows you but your own immediate family and Joseph. No one knows who you are." But then she went back and she pondered on the words, "I'm highly favored with God. I'm greatly graced. The Lord is with me. I'm supremely blessed among women. I'm a somebody." But did you know that this same thing could be said of the woman at the well who had had five husbands and was not even bothering with matrimony this time? It just never worked out, so you just try them before you go any further. But Jesus forgave her of her sins. She likewise could say, "I'm greatly graced, I'm highly favored, the Lord is with me, and I'm blessed above women." It wasn't just Mary who was blessed. Now, I'll tell you the truth of it is, Catholics make too much over Mary and Protestants don't make enough over her. She was a wonderful, wonderful young woman, powerfully used of God. Thank God for Mary. Thank God for Mary. But we don't worship Mary. We worship her son, Jesus. Mary cannot save us from our sins. Mary cannot change our lives. She gave birth to a son who can do that. But she was just the obedient vessel that God used. I wonder how far you could go in life if you really believe I'm really highly favored. I wonder what attitude you would walk into the factory, the shop, the office, the job, the schoolroom on Monday morning if you really believed I'm highly favored with God. There's a great grace of God in my life. The Lord is really with me. I'm supremely blessed above women. You know, it's hard to explain. I didn't spend many, many years away from God, but I'll tell you, I spent about 2.5 years that were not good. You can slip around and slip and slide and be around church, but not in church. You can hear, but not hear. When I came to God, my heart was cold as a slab of concrete. The only thing I had going for me was the fear of God. I did have a fear of God. I knew there was a heaven to gain. I knew there was a hell to shun. And I knew I was on my way to hell. And so my lightning fast mind said, God, I'm going to serve you. I don't want to go to hell. I almost went to hell tonight. And it was some 90 days before any semblance of a feeling or assurance came to my heart. And I will thank God throughout eternity that some way the Spirit of God, you talk about being highly favored, greatly graced, the Lord is with you, and you're supremely blessed. God supernaturally opened to me the 8th chapter of Romans, and I read it and I read it. Isn't it amazing? It may be another chapter for you or another chapter for you, but God uses certain chapters to bring supernatural awakenings in our own spirit. And of course, you serve him over a period of time. It turns out to be many chapters or many verses that God uses. I read it, I wept it, I wrote it out. I held on to it, I embraced it in my sleep. Romans, the 8th chapter. Oh, my heart was hard, but now God's in the process of doing a work of grace. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning when I cried out. I said, God, if you could just give me a little bit of feeling this morning, I would sure appreciate it, but I'm going to serve you whatever. I'd lost all my old friends and no one else would trust me, you know, as a young person. You can get yourself in a mess as a young person, I'm telling you. You don't have to get old and gray and tired and worn. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. I could show you the pew. I could show you the location of the church. I could show you everybody left but the janitor, and he was clearing his throat and walking back and forth because he couldn't leave and lock up until I left. But I'll tell you, when I left that pew that morning, there was the handkerchief ran out. There was not a Kleenex in sight. That old wooden pew was wet with tears and wet with my weeping before God. And when I walked out of that church that Sunday morning, I knew I was saved before then. But the assurance that all was well with God came. And it's never been the same since then. Folks, it's not only Mary that hears this message. It's yours to read in Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians and Colossians. You're highly favored. You're greatly graced. The Lord is with you. And you're supremely blessed. You're greatly blessed. See, the devil's biggest lie is to tell you that there's fun in sin and you're missing something and how great sin is. If sin was so great, God would say, go do it. God's not trying to keep you from having fun. You know why God's against sin? Because sin will hurt you and sin will kill you. And sin is no win. It only tastes good for a moment. Its pleasures are just for a moment, and then all hell breaks loose. And then for eternity, it's eternal hell. Devil doesn't play fair. He gets you to yield to temptation. Then he moves right in, that dirty, filthy, good for nothing Lucifer then comes right in after he's tempted you to sin and says, now there's no hope. You can never repent. Things can never be. You've blown it now. It's behind you. It's all over. Oh, I hate him. I hate his lies. That's why I love to read Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. You may have been the lowest of the low, but I have good news for you this morning. The Bible has good news for you this morning. God loves you as though you had never sinned. When you repent, repentance is the key word. None of this works without repentance. I know the world is trying to help people get rid of guilt. You'll never get rid of guilt until there's repentance. You'll never feel good about yourself until there's true repentance. Things will never be right if they're wrong until you get things right with God. But once you repent, and you know there's a cleansing to repentance. You know, we're so stubborn in our society. We just don't like to admit we did wrong. I sinned. I blew it. Missed it. But oh, there's something about heaven. God loves to hear that. And when God hears us say, Lord, I sinned. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Jesus' blood still makes the vilest sinner to be clean. Now the message increases. Now that she's heard, I'm highly favored, greatly graced. The Lord's with me. I'm supremely blessed. Now the angel comes and gives her her mission and purpose in life. See, when you find out who you are in Christ, then you can get on with your mission and purpose in life. So many people just wander around the condemnation mountain. Wander around the condemnation mountain. I'm sorry whatever happened to you, but let the past be past at last. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you once and for all. So then he said, fear not, behold, you'll conceive in your womb and you'll bring forth a son. Hey, this gets heavy, man. You're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give unto him the throne of David, and he shall reign forever. Now, no earthly king has ever reigned forever, but King Jesus is going to reign forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I don't have a problem with why this woman said, how shall it be? I mean, can you imagine? There is nothing that has earmarked Mary earthwise to be a person to hear what she's hearing and to experience what we know is going to happen and did happen. Highly favored, greatly graced, the Lord's with me. I'm supremely blessed among women. Fear not, behold, you'll conceive in your womb, you'll bring forth a son. You'll call him Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, and he'll reign forever. No earthly kings ever reign forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. How shall it be, Mary asked? How shall it be? How shall it be? But you know, I hope I'm not, you wouldn't think that I'm a little bit sacrilegious today when I share this. You know, there's things in your life and my life that are just about as impossible as Mary becoming impregnated with the Son of God. We've all got some impossible things in our life. You say, how do you know they're impossible? Because if they weren't, you would have already done it. And I would have already done it. I mean, they're impossible. If we knew how to do it, if we knew how to buy it, if we knew how to trade for it, if we knew how to manipulate it, there are things in your life, your family, your situation, if you knew how to do it, you would have already done it. Miracle's not something you could do. A miracle's something that only through the help of God that you can accomplish. But let's review this revelation. Now comes the word, how shall it be? How shall it be? And then, of course, we know the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Gabriel appears with this life-changing message. Folks, I don't think you've still got it this morning. If you had it, you'd be an impossible crowd to try to hold at this moment. If you really believed, I really am highly favored. I really am greatly graced. The Lord really is with me, and I'm really supremely, supernaturally blessed. If we believe that this morning, you would be an impossible crowd to hold still. Okay, angel, let's review this thing now. I'm highly favored, greatly graced. The Lord is with me. I'm supremely, supernaturally blessed. And I'm to give birth. It's got to be supernatural because I've never had a physical relation with Joseph. I'm to give birth supernaturally to the Son of God who will reign forever. I've never had a physical relation with a man, much less Joseph. Can you imagine what was going on in her mind? She went to her mind, and her mind told her the same thing that your mind's telling you about some things today. It's impossible. Really, let's be real today. It's impossible. I don't blame her mind. Hear God today. If we're going to see and receive and experience the supernatural in our lives and our families, we must get out of our minds and into three areas. Something's got to change. Our thinking's got to change. Our believing must change. There's three areas that we must get out of our mind, and number one, get into the Word of God. I'm talking about taking seriously God's eternal Word. There's not such a thing as a strong Christian on the face of the earth that doesn't love or have some tie into the Word of God. And if you can't read, you can get cassette tapes that'll read for you. The Word. No church is stronger than the Word of God that's brought forth. I'd let it be, it would be a frustration to me. I mean, you'd think that everybody would love a church that preaches the Word of God. You'd think that everybody loves a church that's winning souls. I mean, it's inconceivable to me for someone that's in the middle of where souls are being won and missions is being the main order of the day and prayers going on 24 hours a day, for someone to go to some cold, lifeless. In fact, I asked someone the question the other day. They asked me a question, so I asked them a question. I said, how many people are getting saved where you're going? They said, well, that really doesn't happen where we're going. I said, I don't have anything else to say. Man, you couldn't tie me down in a church where people are not being born again. You couldn't put a gun to my head and make me sit around a dead, lifeless, go through the motions, even if you believe. I mean, we believe Jesus, we believe the Word of God, but where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of missions? Where's the fruit of prayer? Where's the fruit of people coming to the Lord? Where's the fruit of changed lives? We just come in whenever we want to get a fuzzy, warm feeling and go our way. No obligation, no deposit, no return. Well, I'm sorry, Calvary Cathedral International is not a church like that. And it's been a faith project for me to believe that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, doesn't really want everything Lord, Lord has. She went to her mind. Oh, there's a lot of places you can hide in your mind. Intellectual, marvelous, deep, awesome. Why, he tells us archaeological facts that we've never heard before. But honey, is anybody getting saved on Sunday? Well, no, but boy, we're hearing things we've never heard before. Let me be where the fire is. Let me be where people are walking the aisle. Let me be where people's lives are being changed. She went to her mind. How shall it be? It's impossible. Angel, you don't understand. I appreciate your kindness to me. I appreciate all the things you're saying. But how shall it be? But you see, the Christ child couldn't be, listen to me, until she got this thing inside of her. I really am highly favored. I am greatly graced. The Lord is with me, and I'm supremely blessed. We're wanting to go on to the greater things of God. We don't even have the first and second and third grade down yet. Get it settled in your spirit. I am highly favored. I am greatly graced. The Lord is with me. I am supremely, supernaturally blessed. If you don't have that revelation, what are you going to do with the Son of God? You see, if we're going to see, receive, and experience the supernatural in our lives and families, we must get rid of that stinking thinking in our minds. We've got to get out of our minds and into three areas. First of all, the Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Number two, faith in that Word. You know it academically, but do you believe it? The Word and faith in the Word. And then total dependence on the Holy Ghost. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. A few days ago, there was something. I mean, I tried to work it out. I tried to talk it out. I tried to figure it out. I tried to maneuver it out. And you know what? My lightning fast spirit finally said, why don't you trust God? There's arguments you can't win. There's strategy that you can't come up with. There's people that you can't change. There's situations that you're powerless to make a difference. I said, okay. I was quite pleased with myself with all the effort I was putting into that project. But God obviously was not impressed. Folks, God can do what no other power can do. God can change people that you can't change. God can turn situations around that you can't turn around. God can touch your family members that, I mean, the more you talk, the worse it gets. God can bring reconciliation to sticky situations if you just trust Him. It all comes down to a word called trust. I just said, Lord, it's obvious I can't. I've tried, and I haven't. Lord, I put this thing in your hands. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, by the grace of God, I acknowledge you. I trust in you, Lord, and let you direct my paths. And I'm going to tell you, that thing just worked out so smooth, it was just frustrating. I tried and failed. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable, any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes. God specializes. Have you talked and said everything you know how to say and it's just getting worse? Shut up. I couldn't say that word as long as my mother was on earth. She didn't like to hear me say, shut up. I'd say that, and after service, he'd say, son, you said it again. 3 things: the Word, faith in the Word, and total dependence on the Holy Ghost. The Word, faith in the Word, and total dependence on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something, at least it's my understanding. The Christ child would not have been born if Mary had said no. The supernatural would not have manifested in her life because the angel said, it shall be. It's going to happen. It shall be. I've read that several times to make sure I was on solid ground there. It's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. I wonder how many miracles are in layaway waiting for us to say, yes! I just wonder. How many answers to prayer are ready to be delivered, but God's waiting on us to say, yes. Now, Mary could have heard all of this and said, I'll have no part of it. Go to someone else with this, whatever it is. But you see, Mary could only say yes to the supernatural when she got out of her mind, her human reasoning, the 5 senses, into the Word and faith in God's Word and total dependence upon the Holy Ghost. And when she said yes, her miracle was in motion. When Mary said in her spirit, she said yes, she could have contested this. I mean, this is a lot for a teenager to comprehend. I'm highly favored, greatly graced, the Lord's with me, I'm supremely supernaturally blessed, and now you tell me I'm going to give birth, supernatural birth, to the Son of the living God. His name's going to be called Jesus. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. I mean, this was a heavy revy, man. I mean, this was a heavy revelation. And Mary could have said no. Folks, all over this room today, the Spirit of God is brooding all over this room. And all over this room, God is saying, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, what I have for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. If you'll just say, yes, yes, Lord, yes. She said yes. The minute she said yes, her miracle was in motion. The secret of receiving the supernatural is getting out of your troubled, doubting mind. Get out of your troubled, doubting mind and get into the realm of the Word and the Spirit. You see, in every area of our lives, the answer to receiving the supernatural is a constant commitment to change.